Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni, text number 49, which doesn't have any purport, so I'll just read the translations. Upon seeing his own attempt had failed, and that the Sudarsan Chakra was moving toward him, Durvasa Muni became very frightened, began to run in all directions to save his life. As the blazing flames of a forest fire pursue a snake, the disk of the Supreme Personality of Godhead began following Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni saw that the disk was almost touching his back, and thus he ran very swiftly, desiring to enter a cave of Sumeru Mountain. Just to protect himself, Durvasa Muni fled everywhere, in all directions, in the sky, on the surface of the earth, in caves, in the ocean, on different planets of the rulers of the three worlds, and even on the heavenly planets. But wherever he went, he immediately saw following him the unbearable fire of the Sudarsan Chakra. With a fearful heart, Durvasa Muni went here and there seeking shelter. When he could not find, when he could find no shelter, he finally approached Lord Brahma and said, O Lord Brahma, kindly protect me from the blazing Sudarsan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma said, at the end of the Dwiparadra, when the pastimes of the Lord come to an end, Lord Vishnu, by a flick of his eyebrows, vanquishes the entire universe, including our place of residence. Such personalities as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar great saints of which they are the head, and also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods, all of us surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living entities. Purport, in the Bhagavad Gita 10:34 it is said, Mrityu Sarvaharascha Aham. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead approaches his death, or the Supreme Controller of Time, he takes everything away. In other words, all opulence, prestige, and everything one possesses is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead for some purpose. It is the duty of the surrendered soul to execute the orders of the Supreme. No one can disregard him. Under the circumstances, Lord Brahma refused to give shelter to Durvasa Muni from the powerful Sudarsan Chakra sent by the Lord. When Durvasa Muni, who was greatly afflicted by the blazing fire of the Sudarsan Chakra, was thus refused by Lord Brahma, he tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who always resides on this planet known as Kailas. Lord Shiva said, My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness, cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord. Purport. There are innumerable universes in the material world, and there are innumerable Lord Brahmas, Lord Shivas, and other demigods. All of them rotate within the material world under the supreme direction of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is able to compete with the strength of the Lord. Lord Shiva also refused to protect Durvasa Muni, for Lord Shiva was also under the rays of the Sudarsan Chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva, Sanat Kumara, Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Apantaratma, Lord Vyasadeva, Devala, Yamaraj, Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him. as well as many others who have achieved perfection. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. You should simply approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief, for this Susan Chakra is intolerable even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. Thereafter, being disappointed, even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Devrasa Muni went to Vaikuntha Dhamma, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, resides with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. Devrasa Muni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayan. His body trembling, he spoke as follows: O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please give me protection. O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your Lordship. Text 63. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Aham Bhakta Paradinao. Ye Shva Tatan Tata Iva Dvija. Sadhubhir Grasta Ridayo. Bhaktir Bhakta Janam Priya. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Aham, I, Bhakta Paradina, am dependent on the will of the Supreme, of my devotees. He, indeed, Asvatantra, am not independent. Eva, exactly like. Dvija, O Brahmana, Asadubi, by pure devotees, completely free from all material desires. Grasta Ridayo, my heart is controlled. Bhaktai, because they are devotees. Bhakta Jana, Priya, I am dependent not only on my devotee, but also on my devotee's devotee. The devotee's devotee is extremely dear to me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of God had said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the core of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Purport. All the great stalwart personalities in the universe, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is fully under the control of his devotee. Why is this? Because the devotee is anyabhilasita shunya. In other words, he has no material desires in his heart. His only desire is to think always of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to serve him best. Because of this transcendental qualification, the Supreme Lord is extremely favorable to the devotees. Indeed, not only the devotees, but also the devotees of the devotees. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishara Payeche Keva. Without being a devotee of a devotee, one cannot be released from material entanglement. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as Gopi Bhartu, Padakamalaya, Dasa Dasa Nudasa. Thus, he instructed us to become not directly servants of Krishna, but servants of the servants of Krishna. Devotees like Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, and Sukadeva Goswami are directly servants of Krishna. And one who becomes a servant of Narada, Vyasadeva, and Sukadeva, like the six Goswamis, is still more devoted. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura therefore says, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada. If one very sincerely serves the spiritual master, Krishna certainly becomes favorable to such a devotee. Following the instructions of a devotee is more valuable than following the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna repeatedly gives the same perspective on reality. For instance, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, Vidya vanaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini shuni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshanaha. That the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, they see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, the dog eater, and the outcast, because that's the dog eater. In other words, everyone is actually a spiritual soul, transcendental to the material energy. And what we think is our qualifications, or we think of our disqualifications, or we think of others' qualifications or disqualifications, are all being manifested either by Krishna's external energy or by his internal energy. But the self-realized soul, he has a sense that the true equality of all living entities, that everyone has their own glory when they're serving Krishna and the devotees, then they're situated in their own personal glory. In the material world, people think they're situated in their glory according to the body they have. But actually, since we're not the body, and because we're not the doer of the activities, therefore it's not really our glory. It's either the glory of the illusory energy or the glory of the internal energy, the spiritual energy. Now, we have a part to play. That is, we can desire to be in the spiritual energy, or we can desire to be in the external energy. When we desire to be in the external energy, then we become an instrument for suffering. And when we desire to be in the internal energy, we become an instrument for happiness. So that's our choice, whether which kind of instrument we want to become. Now, Krishna also says that Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinash yatsva vinasantam yakpashyati sapashyati. When one sees the super soul accompanying the supreme, the individual soul in all bodies, and one understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. In other words, we may think someone's good, we may think someone's bad, we may think someone's wealthy, we may think someone is so many different things. But actually, everyone is the same spirit soul eternally, simply being covered by different dresses in the material energy. And that along with every soul, there is a super soul. That we're not alone. Krishna is always with us eternally. We couldn't have gotten here unless Krishna brought us here. And we don't go anywhere else unless Krishna brings us there. Now, one can see that the true equality of all living entities, that's actual vision. Everything else is called illusion. Now, under illusion, we develop different types of emotion. We like certain people, we dislike other people, we're indifferent to some people, etc., etc. And it's all based upon our sense gratification. That if someone can give us something, we like them. Oh, he's a nice person. He gave me something. Oh, he just took something away. He's a bad person. Now, actually, it's Krishna who's giving us, and Krishna is taking away. So indirectly, we're trying to flatter Krishna, or we're criticizing him. And we're blaming the individual souls for being independent and doing things outside of Krishna's realm. All right, I'll forgive Krishna, but I'll never forgive the soul who did this to me. But actually, it's Krishna who's doing it. Oh, Krishna's a nice person. Why would he do that to me? Because I'm a nice person. Nice people do nice things to nice people. So this is called our misconceptions of life. Just like Durvasa Muni, he thought it was completely justified. After all, he was a powerful mystic. And he felt he was doing Durvasa Muni, Ambarish Maharaj, a favor by killing him. That way he'd learn his lesson, how to respect great sages like himself. But he wasn't quite as great as he thought he was, because he didn't see actually the equality of all living entities. And therefore Krishna very kindly sent his Sudarshan Chakra to kill Durvasa Muni so that Durvasa Muni would actually learn the lesson he was trying to teach someone else. And we can see the different reaction when Ambarish Maharaj was faced with death because he was thinking about Krishna, he was completely indifferent. Matter of fact, it said that tears of ecstasy came out of his eyes because he was so much concentrated on Krishna. He was happy. And Durvasa Muni, as soon as he was faced with death, became very fearful and fled everywhere. He didn't exactly stay there and say, okay, Sudarshan Chakra, I deserve it. It's time for my get another body. No, he immediately fled everywhere out of fear for a year. It was, imagine being fearful for a year. So much fearful, every moment you turn around, wow, it's still there. Oh, it's hot. And no one in the universe, from Brahma to Shiva to all the demigods, no one could save him. It was like inevitable this was the end, until finally he thought maybe Krishna, he went to the right person, Shiva. He said, why don't you try Lord Vishnu? It's his disc, maybe he'll tell the disc to go away. So he said, well, that sounds a good idea. No, I should have thought about it a year ago. So he went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu is saying, no way. You offended my devotee, and this is the consequences. I can't withdraw the disc because you still have that offense against my devotee, and that's unforgivable. I can't forgive you. Only my devotee will find out could forgive Durvasa Muni. So we're all being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, as it says here even in the verse. We may think, well, it's not so warm today. It's a little warmer than usual. But I don't see any disc hovering around us. But the disc is hovering around everyone. That's why we're growing old. Time. The disc, Sudarshan Chakra, is the disc of time. And that's why every day we wake up, our body's a little older. I don't think anyone wakes up and they look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm younger. It's amazing. The disc must have went away. No, the disc is hovering around everyone, changing everyone's body all the time, but the soul is not changing. And unless we become situated in the soul, in our real selves, then we'll always be fearful of the Sudarshan Chakra as it's chasing us around the universe. From the Brahma, Abrahma, Bhuvana, Mamupetya Punarjanma, Dukaliyama Shasutam, Nat Nuvanti Mahatmana, Sam Siddhim Paramam Gataha. From the highest planet down to the lowest, they're all places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode never takes birth again. So we're in Ljubljana. This is heaven. What do we got to fear here? We got Social Security. We got food on the table. I got my place to sleep. I'm in heaven. What do I got to be fearful of? And besides that, even if the Susan Chakra comes and kills me, I'm going to the heavenly planets. I'll be on vacation for a good amount of time. No worries. I'm all right. But even when we go up to the heavenly planets, Abrahma, Bhuvana Loka, Punarvarjanun, it's a very brief vacation, and we're back to Ljubljana at the end of Kali Yuga, and we get here, and everyone's around 1 meter high, and they're all very hungry, and they're happy to see me for the wrong reasons. And they're also spiritual souls. We're all spiritual souls. But the way karma goes in Kali Yuga, it's not the place to stick around or even to come back to. All right, I'll go to Indraloka for a while. I'll be in the Nandakanda in a forest. Everything will be nice. Prasadam will be nice. Everyone will be nice. I'll be nice too. Everything will be good. But then we come back here at the wrong time to Ljubljana or Slovenia, and there are no trees. There's no fruits, there's no flowers, there's just a whole bunch of hungry people. And I like fallen demigods for supper. So once you become a little serious, like Ambarish Maharaj, the reason why he was not fearful is because he tried to concentrate his mind upon Krishna. And therefore in any circumstance, he was all right. And if we're not concentrating our minds in Krishna, whatever circumstances we're under the wheel of time, under the wheel of the Susan Chakra, and it's going to burn us. It's burning us. Sarvasi Muni is fortunate enough to know he had to flee the wheel of time, but we're embracing it. Oh, wheel of time, you're so kind. I'm getting better and better every day. I'm getting better. I'm making progress. Progress towards what? What are we trying to achieve? Oh, I lost 10 pounds today. Wow. You're almost perfect. Unfortunately, the body's not going to last very long. And when we die, we lose a lot of weight. Go to the grave, you can see everyone's quite thin. They didn't have to go on a diet. It was automatically given to them. On the other hand, the question is, where did they go after they left their body? So that's what we should think about. Where I'm going after I leave this body. This body has this destination, but if we utilize it for Krishna service, to concentrate our minds upon Krishna, then we'll wind up in the same spot as Ambarish Maharaj. He wasn't part of the material world because he was fully engaged in devotional service. Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo. And first of all, he tried to fix his mind upon Krishna. And then in order to help that, he did so many other things. Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanuvardhana. He described about Krishna. He talked about Krishna. That's why we have this class. So we can say something that's useful to us about Krishna. Kararhara Mandira Marajanadi. And he also cleansed the temple of the Lord. Because when he was cleaning the temple of the Lord, he was thinking about Krishna. He wasn't a cleaning freak. Just went around cleaning everywhere. He cleansed the temple of the Lord because it was Krishna's temple. To please Krishna, to serve Krishna, he was engaged in cleaning the temple. And hearing about Krishna. And smelling the flowers. Not extremely difficult services. He didn't stand on his head for 20 hours to see Krishna. Or fast for 3 years. No, he cleansed the temple. He heard about Krishna. He chanted about Krishna. He smelled the flowers off to Krishna. And that way he was able to think about Krishna all the time. Because whatever he did in Krishna consciousness. And therefore his life was always happy and peaceful and perfect and unafraid. Could you imagine what it would be like? You wake up in the morning without any fear whatsoever. nothing to worry about. And you went the whole day, there's nothing to worry about. And it wouldn't get boring. Oh, I need a little fear and anxiety. I'm so bored, I'm just too happy. Please, Krishna, send me some fear and anxiety. I'm just too peaceful and happy now. Give me some excitement, like have a car run over me or something. Make me feel, make my day. A little variety. No, we have enough variety of misery. Why don't we try a variety of happiness all the time? We appreciate that a lot more. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the lecture. So my question is, when we have, when we are facing hard times or hard relationships with others, is it the cause of this, the person, or actually is Krishna behind this, trying to teach us something?
The cause, hard times, if we think we're experiencing hard times, it's our own cause. We're the cause behind it. It's due to our past misdeeds, what we've done in the past. Therefore, Krishna is giving us an opportunity, in spite of our past activities, to meditate upon Krishna and get free from whatever reactions we accrued by acting improperly in the past. Now, if we don't see it that way, we don't take shelter of Krishna and try to find out what Krishna wants me to do to serve him under these circumstances, instead we react, then we'll simply accrue more karma and we'll get the same reaction in the future again, but probably in a heavier way, until we finally learn our lesson.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yeah, there is questions on the internet. So, it's from Avaduta Rai Prabhu. Question. How it is not an offense to criticize Brahma creating imperfect eyelids that have to be closed and do that Krishna cannot be seen?
Well, if you could offend Brahma like the gopis in the same mood, you probably, you know, the only reaction you get is they become more Krishna conscious. We usually criticize people for far less important things. And it's usually not in relation to Krishna. Anything else?
Yeah, there's three more questions. So the second is, the seventh canto, Bhagavatam, recommends observing the time factor, but time is impersonal. How then to be Krishna conscious?
Time is impersonal. Time is Krishna. Krishna says, Kalosmi Lokashe Krit Pravrido. Time I am. So how can it be impersonal?
He says, it says in the seventh canto.
Well, time is, at least we can say time is moving under Krishna's direction. Just like if I take a stick and I hit you with it. And you say, well, why are you hitting me? Why are you hitting me? You say, no, I'm not hitting you, the stick's hitting you. But who's hitting the person, the stick or the person who has the stick? So time is one of Krishna's energies, but it moves under Krishna's direction, therefore it's personal, because Krishna is personal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The third question. In the story about Kakudmi, Brahmaloka is said to be transcendental or above the gunas. How it is then Brahma sometimes influenced by the modes?
Well, sometimes Brahmaloka, the residents there are engaged in pure devotional service. And the lotus flower itself came from Krishna's body, so it's transcendental. But that doesn't mean that everyone is always transcendental in Brahmaloka. Sometimes Brahma gets into trouble himself. And if he's not pure devotee, then he has to come back to the material world. So the planet may be transcendental because it comes from Vishnu. If someone is born from Krishna's personal body, then it must be transcendental. But if we were on the lotus flower, we probably wouldn't be so transcendental as the lotus flower.
Yes, okay, thank you. So the last question from Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class question. In the reference to accepting everything as Krishna is doing, it seems that sometimes we have to defend ourselves. Is that correct? And if so, how to distinguish whether we are protecting our service or our false ego when we defend ourselves?
Well, we have to defend Krishna's body. And of course, we defend ourselves by thinking about Krishna. But then we may have to, if someone attacked Krishna's body, which is being used in his service, we may have to defend it, or other bodies being used in Krishna's service. How do we know? Well, I guess you have to read Guru Sadhana Shastra, assimilate the knowledge, and pray for the super soul for the intelligence. Because Krishna can let you know. Just like he lets us know everything else. So he can let us know what's appropriate when someone's attacking us, too. Or what we think is us. The Dhammi Buddha Yoga and Tam. If we're constantly engaged in service with love, then Krishna will give us the intelligence to understand things properly. Yes. Okay. There's another question.
One question. Sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness and they seem peaceful before. And when they come to Krishna consciousness, things happen, like bad things happen, start happening in their life. So how to understand? Because they will say that, okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna and these bad things happen, so.
Well, just like if during the winter you sweep all your dust underneath the rug, and then when the summer comes, when it starts cleaning, you lift up the rug and the dust comes out, and you blame the cleaning on the dust. But actually, it's not the cleaning. You should have been cleaning out the dust that's already there. So to think bad things happen to me when I chant Hare Krishna, no, it's just cleaning the dust. And you're finding out all the bad things you've hidden away. Now the holy name is revealing it all to you. And if you keep on chanting Hare Krishna, the bad things will go away. Just like one time a devotee said, Prabhupada, every time I start chanting Hare Krishna, I see all these lights. Prabhupada said, well, keep on chanting and it'll go away. Okay. Kala Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.